Craig and Janet. Okay. Okay, you can put the message title up. You two, are you behaving up the back there? There's lots of shenanigans going on, I reckon. I can see you, sort of. Isn't it good we can have a laugh and have some fun, you know? God just loves it when his kids can fellowship and relax and have a bit of fun. You know, we don't have to be serious all the time. And I love a bit of fun too. So the message is called, Dennis, remind me, because I've changed the title that many times. What Has Changed, I think. That's the title of the message. Here it is. Da-da-da-da-da. What Has Changed? Okay. So, everything. Well, I'm talking about ourselves today. What have we changed in ourselves? So, here we go. I'm going to start off with a scripture from 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 12-13. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth that you've been taught, and it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. In the King James Version, it says, I will not be negligent as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir things up by putting you in remembrance. So we're going to hear a word about that today, about standing on the things that we already know and being reminded, because I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded constantly of certain things. Yes. So Peter felt a sense of obligation here to make sure that he went back over some of the things that he'd taught. He wanted to make sure people were all established in the truths that they already knew. And he wasn't necessarily trying to roll out something new, bring something brand new for the day. He just wanted to make sure that they'd already gotten a hold of it, all the things that he'd already shared. And this is when we have to make adjustments in our hearts on the truths that we already know to be. And we want them to manifest. We just want to know them. We want them to manifest, to be part of our life, the fruit in our life. And that's where we have to implement change sometimes. Change. And we just don't want to change for a couple of weeks after we hear something. Now, I know the men have done series on pride and lust and joy, great things. And sometimes, not just the men, we might have to go over those things again to remind ourselves, because it can all sound good for a couple of weeks until something comes, because the devil will make sure of that. And so sometimes we just need to go back and remind ourselves of these things, especially if that's what we're struggling in. I know I'm definitely a changed person when I look back a long, long time ago. But, you know, I need to also be reminded when behaviours want to creep up and temptation wants to sneak up on me. But we want to see changes in our life that last. Last beyond just hearing it, but we need to practice it. You know, we can hear a sermon and, yeah, that's great and we're good for a bit, but we want to be transformed, don't we? Transformed. And we want to continue to produce fruit long after the sermon ends. So any time that you hear a bit of a hard word and sort of touches the thing in here, you know that maybe that's what you've got to work at and start to apply that to your area in your life. We don't need a new revelation sometimes. We just need to refresh on the things that we already know and are assured of. Okay, we can go back through our notes, which is a great thing to do. When I take notes when someone's speaking or when I'm at a conference, I take notes and I highlight things. And sometimes, even in my Bible, I'll just go back over the highlighted things because they've obviously touched something with me at the time, and I'll write lots of little notes in my margins there to remind me of things. And I think that's a really good thing to do. Psalm 91:16, beautiful, says, "With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." That's what I want, long life, and continue to walk in that. And Jesus also says in his word, and it's in John 14, and I've sort of just put this together myself, he said, if you will listen to my commandments, If you will hearken, another version says, listen to what I'm saying. I will reveal myself to you, and I will allow myself to be clearly seen by you. I will manifest myself to you. He can manifest himself in us, and he will become real to you. And Jesus tells us that he and the Father, they're going to make a special dwelling place for us. Well, we know that that promise is when we go home to be with him. But as long as I'm here and alive on this earth, I want to open up my heart. We sang about that today. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. So I want to open up our hearts today and to make a home for God, not a house, but a home that he can dwell in, and allow him to move stuff around, to renovate, if you like, make changes and adjustments. And even every now and again, we need a good clean out, put on the curbside for the council to take away. We need that, don't we? There's always that pruning, always that cleaning out, because things, I don't know about you, but clutter comes in to the home and you're like, no, get rid of that. And it's great to be able to do that and feel like we're fresh again. But are we willing to make the changes that we need? Are we willing to demonstrate those and allow the manifestation of that work in our hearts and in our life? And every time you hear or you learn something, you go through a process, actually. And just because you heard it and it hits your ear doesn't mean it hits your heart. And if it hits your heart, it doesn't always mean it's going to show up in your life. So it actually starts when you hear the word. Then you have to decide that you're going to receive the word. That's our choice, to receive what we've heard. Then we're going to have to, after we've received it, decide if we're going to believe the word. Do we believe what's been said? And after we've believed it, we're going to have to start speaking it. Because a lot of times it's going to look a little different, it's going to sound a little different to what we're looking at that time. And it doesn't just stop there. You have to speak it until you get into a place where that word becomes so plain and so clear that you know how to add that corresponding action to it from what you've heard and then apply it to your everyday life. And that's when you'll see results. In Scripture, it's called the incorruptible seed. Now, in the Bible, the first parable that Jesus ever taught was called the parable of the sower. It's in Mark 4, but actually it's in three other Gospels. It's in Matthew 13 and it's in Luke 8, and as well as Mark 4. And you'll find there's similar stories. Some details will be in one that might not be in the other. But Jesus says this statement. He says that this parable of the sower, he says, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how are you going to understand the others? And so if you can get this one, it can help unlock all the others. And Jesus said, if you want to understand everything I'm saying to you, he's talking to the disciples, you've got to get this one right first. So in this parable, he reveals four different ways that human beings will respond to the word of God in our hearts. So sometime you might hear a message or a prophecy or read a scripture or something that you're exposed to by listening to someone, you're exposed to this truth. What you hear is going to come fall on you in one of four ways. It's either going to be go by the wayside, it's going to either fall on stony ground or thorny ground or good ground. We're all in there somewhere. He says, if you want to see the kingdom of God manifest and be fruitful in your life, you have got to understand that whenever you hear the word, it's going to either fall by the wayside, fall on stony ground, or thorny ground, or good ground. But it's going to fall on one of those in our lives. Never thought of it like that before, really, until I was doing this. Now, you might have a good ground area in certain parts of your life, and your other areas might be a bit thorny or a bit stony, or they go by the wayside. So sometimes in our hearts we receive it, we believe it, and we act on it. But we don't always believe everything that's said, and we don't always act on everything that's said. For example, might bring a message on tithing. Tithing, for most people, are like, yep, that's cool, I don't need to pray about that. I just give my tithes every week. Because you've received that word, you've believed that word, and you've acted on that word. But when it comes to offence, maybe, you might be on stony ground or thorny ground, or it might just fall by the wayside because you continually seem to get your feelings hurt easily. So you can be on good ground in one area and produce really well, and in another area, not necessarily so. So that can be us, can't it? So whenever we hear something that challenges how we live, in order to change, I'm going to go through some tips today on how maybe to act on things that we've heard so that we can solidify the transformation in our lives and continue to see fruit grow. So when we hear something that's challenging on how we live, how to change, first of all, we have to make a shift in our thinking, okay? Sometimes it gets to the heart and it's there, but it doesn't always go up to the thinking. We still have all this wrong thinking in our mind. But Romans 12 is quite clear. It tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is good, the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So the word renew means to renovate, to strip off an old way of thinking and put on a new way of thinking. And that is not always easy to do. When you have grown up with a certain way of thinking and you have taken that into your adulthood and into your age, it is not always easy to change your thinking. And I know, because I had to change my thinking on a lot of things. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us that every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, you've got to bring that thing down into captivity. Take that captive. Bring that down. So every time God says this certain thing and then you have another thought, you better take that thought and submit it to what God says about that. We really can't have an opinion. We have to have what God says about things. And so we can't allow things to roam around in our mind and dictate our actions, because that's what happens. Your behaviours and the decisions that you make, and even the way that you treat people, all these things, we can't allow them to get into our life. And if they're there, we need to continue to work on those things. So you've got to allow the Word of God to have the final authority on what you do, how you act and how you live. Just this week, and this is why I probably got this sermon, I had allowed resentment from a situation to creep into my life. And you know what? My feelings did not want to submit to what I knew I had to do, because it kept coming up, and it came up for years. And I thought, I brought it up, and Graham goes, I thought you'd got over that. And I said, I know, I'm struggling. I'm just being honest. And I knew I had to say, God, forgive me, because my feelings wanted to continue to feel sorry for myself. And so that's what happens. We have a bit of self-pity coming every now and again. And I knew that in that moment, I had to say, God, forgive me for holding on to that, and I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to bless that situation and bless those people. And I brought it in under the obedience of Christ and what he said and what I knew, but I didn't want to. And I know that we can all be a bit like that. You see, repentance isn't just making the 180 degree turn and walking back in the other direction. Repentance also involves change in the way that we think and the way we live. If we're repentant, we can't go back and live that way. So we have to amend our ways, our old ways that are connected to old behaviours, which means we can't now handle things the way we used to. We have to stop our old thinking patterns and get the Word of God into our hearts and adjust our thinking accordingly. And you know what? Then we have to develop a loathing, even an abhorrence for our past sins. Hate what we've done, where we've been. That's what should be, that's what repentance should be, that we don't ever want to go back there because it's not right. We have to loathe. And it's okay to do that because that helps us stay going forward, doesn't it? The Bible says in Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. God uses animals, Graham. And and it warns us, not that he does that, no. But he's warning us not to be like that dog, okay? And you know the reason why dogs do that? Do you know why they go back to their vomit? Sorry. It's a source of provision. It's a source of provision for them. Okay? So in other words, when you repent, you should no longer see where you've come from as a source of your provision. No longer. The way I used to be no longer provides for me. It doesn't give me peace. It doesn't give me joy. It certainly doesn't produce fruit in me, and it doesn't work for me anymore. That's what repentance is. So maybe we need to make a shift in how we interact with people, because you can't say that you love God and treat other people badly. Here's another tip. So you can't say, I love God, and hold resentment, anger, and bitterness in your heart. They don't fit together. The Bible tells us we have to love God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. And the test of love is how well you do with other people. You know, sometimes we have to embrace being a little uncomfortable until we get our footing. If you've struggled in that, it's okay to be a little uncomfortable, but we have to learn how to flow in the truth of the word. And you know, when you get exposed to something that is challenging, we need to think, well, we can't master, you know, sometimes we don't master it immediately. Sometimes we want to give up because we thought, too hard. But it does take persistence, obedience, and continual putting that together so that we can get through it. We have to keep practicing. I mean, it's easier to do nothing, isn't it? Much easier to do nothing. But keep practicing. Graham has to keep practicing patience at traffic lights, especially in Maria, because I guarantee every time he drives through Maria, they go red and there's no other cars anywhere. And I say, it's God. It's God. I've got the microphone. So that's just a little thing, yes, but it's true. And I'm like, if we have to keep practicing it and keep practicing it, that's okay, all right? So we have to lean into being uncomfortable sometimes, you know, and not be touchy, feely, and get our feelings hurt easy, you know. And when you feel that, lean into being uncomfortable for a moment and don't allow yourself to shut down and just think, can't do this. You know, we got to get it all right. We got to start practicing some of these things. You know, we're all different. We're all so different. We have different personalities, different characters, and we need to love and appreciate each other for who we are. But if we've got to sharpen something, then we need to sharpen it. So instead, we've got to keep ourselves open, embrace what's going on, and we need the word to help guide us through that moment. So if we're in the word, God's going to give us something to remind us and to stand on as we go through and get that right. So don't shut down what God is doing. If you keep getting the same test, it could well be God saying, well, you haven't passed it yet. Keep practicing. Keep practicing. You know, I never realised that being a pastor, that I would come under so much attack and criticism. You know, my heart's always been to bring the word of God, and I know that people have an opinion, and that's absolutely fine. And I am always open to discuss and to talk. But I never knew that over the years, even when I wasn't the senior pastor, the criticism and the attack that people want to bring on you. But you know what? I'm only responsible for my response. I'm only responsible. I know my heart, God knows my heart, but I've got to act on that. I can't just go, but you can say, God knows my heart. That won't cut it, okay? I have to apply God's word to my feelings because I have feelings, and I have to work on taking those thoughts captive of what I really want to say, because that's not right either, okay? And I have to be able to keep my heart sweet so that I can release and bless and all that. And that's how I want to walk my life. And I've had a bit of practice, can I just say? I'm getting really good at it. But you know, the only opportunities that you have to grow in is when you're standing in the midst of it. So you've got to lean in to that uncomfortableness. And if you fail, you will get another opportunity, trust me. But you know what? Dust it off. Dust off the dust on your shoes. Get back in the fight again. And you know what? Extend yourself some grace sometimes as you're learning to walk through something new. So when we have to process and shift because we're dealing something that is challenging, sometimes it might force us to eat humble pie. Okay? Humble pie. And we need to resist pride. So when you're leaning on something and you're going to act on it, if you get defensive, that can be pride. We've all got that there. And we have to resist pride. We have to be teachable. Even if what's being said is not right, put it on the shelf. Give it to God. Maybe there is some truth in it. I don't know. You have to decide that yourself. But resist that pride and resist shutting down in that moment and remain teachable. Lean in to that uncomfortableness. Scripture in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, it says, and I'm reading from the Amplified in this one, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. We are works in progress. You know, most of us have been in church long enough that we need to be getting some of this right. But it's just a reminder today to see what's there. And so just start with the obvious. Just start. Sometimes think, I don't know where to start. Like especially when we're new and we come in and we've got so much we know we've got to work on. Just do something. Just start with something. Deuteronomy 29 and 29 says, the Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them. But we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us. And so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. That's an interesting one, isn't it? What we don't know, we're not accountable for. But what we do know, we have to work on, and we are accountable for what we do know. So once you hear something and then you didn't really want to hear it, you know it now. And you know that you might have to work on that. Sometimes we don't want to know, but God will tell us when it's right. So there's parts of your life when you don't know what to do and they belong to the Lord. And then there's things that have been revealed to us and that belongs to us. We have to own it. But, you know, when you've got victory in these things, you get the chance to pass on the keys to your kids, you know, because quite often the devil knows that we're all blood related and what we might go through, they might go through. So he might often pulls the same tricks on the kids. But if we will deal with our stuff, we have an opportunity to show our kids the keys, to be that witness to them so that they can then work on things where we've left off. And if we don't deal with it, we're just leaving it to the kids. And it's good to be honest. You know, I can look back in life and I hid so much pain and trauma from my kids. And I had the best front because I didn't want to hurt my kids. But then the time came when kids knew stuff I didn't want them to know. And it was almost like they wanted to be a part of helping and healing and restoration. And I'm like, God, thank you, because I would have never done that. I would have wanted to protect them. But as adults, we were able to now be restored as a family, and we're back to where God wants us to be, that we can now be an example and an encouragement about our failures and about our victories with our kids, and hand on the keys to the kids for their walk in life. So don't worry about what you don't know. Just work on what you do, one thing at a time. And my Bible tells me that if we will dwell, if he will dwell in your innermost being, personality, when we got saved, you know, there's fruits of the Spirit, and that's when we got to adopt these things. And of course, they come in seed form, but we have to grow them. And we know them as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control and love are like bookends. If you can get your love walk and if you can be self-disciplined, all these things can work well. And then he says there's no law against them. So if you're going to grow in the fruits of the spirits from opportunities, we've got to start using them. We've got to remember. And it's a good way you think, well, was that good fruit or not good fruit, you know? So if you need more patience, do you think God's just going to give it to you? Or is he going to put you in a situation to use the patience that he's given you already, that you already have, probably? So you can't just expect patience to drop in, because it comes by exercising in frustrating situations, and we will get opportunities. So I want to encourage you to resist the gravitational pullback to what we grew up in, what our natural character may have been. Resist that pullback, because it does come. It does come, especially in the areas of offence and anger and resentment. They're biggies, and I think they're always trying to creep in, because if the devil can offend you, he's got you. He's got you. And we can't do this on our own. Without God, my feelings don't want to do these things. So I have to lean on God to help me. And you know, if you aren't leaning on God, you're supporting yourself, and you won't get very far. In Mark 14:11, he says, "To you has been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom of God. That is the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. But for those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable." You know what I think that's saying? It's clear that people on the outside, non-Christians, don't see things we see. So be careful who you're taking advice from. Be careful who you're listening to. God says only born-again people are going to see the secrets of God. Outside people might have a word of wisdom for something that is not godly, but we need God's wisdom. We need his wisdom. And then in Mark, going on in verses 12 and 13, it says, "In order that they may indeed look and look, but not see and perceive, and hear, but not grasp and comprehend, lest happily they should turn again, and their willful rejection of the truth should be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not discern and understand this parable? How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all the parables?" And there's several things that Scripture tells us about understanding. Proverbs tells us to get wisdom, and while we're getting wisdom, get understanding. Proverbs 3:5 says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And then what? Acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Proverbs 17:27 says, "A man who has knowledge spares his words, but a man with understanding is of a calm spirit." And that's why Jesus, when he was in that boat and that storm, he could sleep in the back of the boat, because he understood. And when we understand, we can have a calm spirit. Now, most times when we hear the word understand, we think to get a hold of something or grasp something, and all of that is true. But I saw this little thing on YouTube, and it made me realise that there's more to it. I saw it demonstrated in a way that it explained this. Understanding can mean between standing or among standing. I'm going to show you. To understand something is to stand between two things in order to separate them and discern. And my props, would you please come forward, Christine and Wayne? These are my props. This is a finish on this. So if you stand here and hug, stay close. Okay, all right, that's it. That's it, stay like that. All right, so understanding also means to be between and among. So when we understand something, what happens is separation. You go up there. Separation. Separation is created between the way we used to see it and the way that we see it now, so that we can properly discern what we need to do moving forward. When we don't understand something, two polarizing truths can operate together. Back together. Hug. Okay. So two polarizing truths can operate together, where we can't see the difference between God's way and the world's way. We can't see the difference between the way that we used to see things, like offense and anger and resentment, which you're allowed to have in the world, or the way that God sees it, when we're supposed to see forgiveness and love. But I'm coming in again. Separate. Okay. But the moment that I just don't get wisdom, but I get understanding, God creates separation. And now I can either mentally ascend or I can lean on and trust what God is showing me. So now I can move forward with what it is that God has instructed me to do, because I can see clearly the difference. So to understand means that God is now creating some separation, because sometimes we treat polarizing truths like they're twins. Like the positivity of this world is not the same thing as the spirituality of the kingdom, and the lie that Jesus and the world are the same, because they are not. Thank you. Thanks, guys. You see, they look like they operate the same, but if you get into the Bible and you understand, you will see that they are not the same. Jesus' ways and the Word are not the ways of the world. There are similarities when it comes to religions, but if people don't believe what the Bible says about Jesus, that's the deal breaker. He is the way and the truth and the life, and there is no other way. No other way except through him. And so we need to be careful sometimes that we don't merge things together, assuming that they can operate the same, because they can't. And so next time I'm speaking, I'm going to add to this, and I'm going to be talking about those four things again: the wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. But we need understanding. And so until then, I pray that God, if you have something to show us, that we would receive what you're saying, and that we would begin not just to receive it, but to believe it, to speak it, and to act on it. And so I set the challenge out to myself and you all. And you know, I was just looking through Matthew. I'm like, if you need to know something, you know, here we go. Jesus teaches about light and salt. He teaches about the law. He teaches about anger. He teaches about lust. He teaches about divorce. He teaches about vows, about revenge, about loving our enemies, giving to the needy. Teaches about praying, fasting, money, worry, judging others. It's all here. It's all here. Read them, highlight them if we need to. And let's become who God has called us to be, because we can be so much more effective to the world. Amen.